Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. And I am joined again today by one of my very favorite guests. This is Diane Brown. She is the CEO and CSO, Chief Science Officer at the Canine Health Foundation. Welcome, Diane. I'm really glad to have you back. And we're going to talk about some pretty important stuff today.
Yeah, Laura. Good to be back. Thank you.
Excellent. So we're talking about the dreaded C word, right?
Yes, we are. Canine cancer.
Yeah.
And this is something that all too many people have been touched by.
All of us, I would say, at some point or another, unless you're really lucky.
Yep. And cancer in dogs is really a problem across all breeds and mixed breed dogs. Cancer in dogs is kind of like cancer in people. We are hearing and seeing more and more cases, and it becomes an increasing challenge. We think about all the different factors that might be involved, from breed-specific cancers and the potential role of genetics, to even these bigger pieces of the environment, what we call epigenetics, which are all the different things that might be triggers for development of cancer.
Right.
And, you know, it's really becoming so important, especially in dogs that are 10 and older. You know, they're talking about numbers of greater than 50% of dogs 10 and older will get cancer.
Okay, so talk to me a little bit about that. This might be a little bit of a segue off from what you wanted to talk about, but I'm really curious about this. And that's where I've seen most of the dogs that I've personally had affected have been at that 10 and older mark.
Mm-hmm.
And in breeds where you'd expect for the dog to live to be 12 to 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so heartbreaking because that's the end of the dog's life. You're very attached. The question is that an unfair expectation? This is my question to myself. And so talk to me a little bit about that.
Interesting perspective. Of course, you know, our dogs never live long enough.
Right, exactly. I mean, they could live to 50 and it wouldn't be enough. So,
right. And we are talking at that point about quality of life, right? So you've gotten them through puppyhood,
right,
and you've gotten them through all of their activities, and they're veterans, or they're your house dog or your heart dog,
right,
and they get sick. And so I think that there are several ways to look at this. One, are there ways that we can prevent the development of the cancer? Are there ways that we can do a better job with early diagnosis?
Yeah.
And then are there improved ways to treat these dogs? So I had a professor when I was a veterinary student who always said age is not a disease. And that has stuck with me for my entire veterinary career. And so just the fact that they're older dogs doesn't mean that they don't also warrant treatment. And for some of the cancers where there actually has been some decent progress, for example, in several of the types of lymphoma, dogs can go into remission and live a very good quality of life. So I think that there are end-of-life issues, there are quality-of-life issues, but I'm one of these people that believes that we can get to a point of treating the older dogs as well. And again, prevention and early diagnosis are key to what we need to contribute to through research as well.
And that's great. And that's kind of what I was really getting to is, you know, I can't make my old dog suffer. So I love this concept that you're talking about, right? That is making it so they don't ever get to that point, which I think is fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's so much research that needs to be done. And let's talk for a minute about comparative oncology. That is the field that veterinarians have known forever, that dogs and humans get some of the same types of cancer.
Right.
And so there has been some recent significant funding coming into the field of comparative oncology from the NIH and the National Cancer Institute and some other funding organizations. And they're really focused on the human element of that. And while I love people, I think that we really need to make sure that our efforts,
right,
with our limited financial resources, can go to research for cancer therapies and preventions, et cetera, that are going to focus on the dog. So I just put some caution out there about that, because some of this other funding is really focused on having dogs be models for human cancer.
Right.
And I always ask the question, well, if it can benefit both, we are all for that One Health concept.
Right.
However, I want to see that this is actually going to benefit dogs as well.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So talk to us a little bit what you've got going on and what people out there in our fancy, in my listenership, what we can do, man.
Well, I am excited to be able to roll out here the new match funding initiative. And thanks once again to the generosity of the American Kennel Club. We at the AKC Canine Health Foundation have launched a matched funding initiative for 2019 for canine cancer. And this is a $250,000 match that people should jump into. They can direct it toward the type of cancer that they specifically are concerned about, or they can direct it to canine cancer in general, and
wow,
they can trust that we're going to put that funding to work. So this is a great opportunity to get involved.
Absolutely. That is definitely a wow.
Yes.
And so I guess what's really exciting to me about that is we're not just talking about lymphoma, or we're not just talking about hemangio. This is all cancers across the board, correct?
That's right. And that's important because, again, there are differences in the type of cancers that we see, particularly in the small breeds compared to the medium and larger breeds.
Right.
And there is some breed specificity, but again, all dogs will benefit from this research. So we'll be looking across the whole spectrum, from hemangiosarcoma, mast cell tumors, other types of sarcomas, mammary cancer, brain tumors, bladder cancer. You can just kind of go through the organ system and you can see where there are real needs to address cancer in dogs, for the dogs. And we're looking at a number of ways to get at this. I already mentioned early diagnosis,
right,
and preventions, but there have been a lot of breakthroughs in some of the human cancer treatments, for example, in cancer vaccines and immunotherapy. And, you know, we're going to use these findings in people as a model for how we can approach the disease in dogs. So we've got some, I'll call it a multi-pronged approach to trying to battle cancer, between surgical methods, chemotherapy, mm-hmm, immunotherapy or cancer vaccines, radiation therapy. These are all areas of interest, as is we have a pretty significant investment in funding for exploring epigenetics.
Right.
What are these other roles out there that are triggering the development of these cancers? Are there infectious diseases involved with triggering? Are there other environmental influences? So it's really a big picture approach.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think about things like, and we've talked about this on the show before, lawn chemicals. You know, what's your dog's diet? You know, all of those things that are external influences that have nothing to do with how we bred this dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everything to do with how it's encountering its environment.
Yep, that's exactly right. We have some work ongoing, as we've talked about before, that's actually looking at whether there's an association between some of these tick-borne infections,
right,
and the development of cancer.
Which I think is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other topic that we're starting to see more and more correlation as, again, we make the investment in research, because you don't get answers to these questions with mere guessing. You really have to invest in scientific research to get clear answers to some of these questions. And as you well know, the question of early spay and neuter has been of great interest for a long time. And we have funded several research grants now and continue to invest in that area, because there does seem to be some difference, again, between smaller breeds and larger breeds. And is there a correlation with that disruption of hormone influence and the development, or an increased risk, again, for cancer? So we're trying to find all the clues that we can.
Well, you know, this is a definite mystery novel. I mean, and not just a novella. I mean, this is a lot of work that you guys are putting in. And I guess some of the really, really interesting things that I'm going to pull out here, just because they pique my interest and I think have so much potential. When you're talking about a lot of the dogs that I've dealt with cancers, chemotherapy was not an option. You know, hemangio and a burst spleen, there's nothing I'm going to do about it at that point, right? We've talked about that. So that early detection, so can you give us any idea what kinds of early detection options are available or being discussed, you know?
So it's interesting. This is a really burgeoning area in both human and veterinary medicine on looking at markers that might be circulating. So circulating tumor cells or circulating biomarkers, something that would allow the identification of, you know, a single cancer cell or a biomarker that would say, listen, your risk is increased. Mm-hmm. And doing this through something as simple as a blood test or a urine test or potentially some other sort of risk factor DNA test, which, as you know, come through blood tests as well.
Right.
And we do have currently active research in this. And I can tell you that when we hit a breakthrough in this, you're going to be the first to hear about it.
I'm excited.
Yeah. And you're right. This is a big area. I would say, you know, you could forget the novella. You know, each one of these cancers could be its own volume in and of itself.
Right.
On
War and
all
Peace
the work
in the making.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, right. Exactly. Yeah. Dr. Zhivago. That's
right.
Right.
Exactly. I was just thinking about how long that was.
Mm-hmm.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
Heads up, crew. Join our patrons today. Get immediate access to the support of a closed Facebook chat group, special patrons-only episodes, free mentoring sessions, and more. Just like the NPR of dogdom, Pure Dog Talk brings you the news, the knowledge, and the insight to succeed with your purebred dog. In exchange, our Pure Dog patrons share the love with monthly or annual gifts, and that helps defray the cost of overhead and sort of keeping the MP3s rolling, you know? Hit me up, Laura at puredogtalk.com, and I'll hook you up with the details. Okay, so I really love this concept and this idea that within, okay, can I say within 5 years, within 10 years, within 20 years, can we make that kind of a narrowing, or we're still too early in it?
I think that we should be seeing some results within the next 5 years. You know, at the very least, we're going to know what hasn't worked, because, again, we've invested in a number of studies, and there's a huge effort that's happening in human medicine with bringing together MDs and bioengineers, et cetera. And through our funding, we've jumped on board on some of this as well. And it's a challenging question, a challenging problem. But I think that the future does contain hope, especially for a number of these cancers where we've already been able to identify some ways that we can improve quality of life or get some of these tumors into remission.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is reason for hope. In the bigger picture, of course, for both humans and for dogs, we need to be looking at all of the different factors that might be causing what feels like an epidemic now in some of these types of cancer.
Yeah, I would definitely say hemangio, lymphoma, some of those that, for me personally, feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Can you touch a little bit on, we were talking about the quality of life stuff, and we were talking about some of the new chemo treatments. So can you just kind of touch on that a little bit in terms of, okay, you're not going to be able to do chemo for hemangio, but lymphoma, okay, maybe that's a thing. And the last dog that I had dealing with lymphoma was maybe 10 years ago. So can you talk about the recent improvements in chemo treatment for dogs in that type of a situation?
Yeah, and I would say that there are explorations going on for new chemotherapeutics to try to treat hemangiosarcoma.
Wow.
Yeah, the current protocols for lymphoma in dogs really help a lot of dogs, and dogs do very well going into remission. I think one of the most exciting areas is looking at personalized medicine for dogs and being able to treat their specific cancer. And so investing in personalized medicine, which can include chemotherapy, is really a wave of the future. And there are some cancer vaccines out there now, several that are under investigation through AKC Canine Health Foundation funding and by others. And you may know that there is a melanoma vaccine that's already on the market for dogs.
No, I had no idea. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I think, again, there's reason to be hopeful for the future on some of these new efforts at personalized medicine and very targeted chemotherapy as opposed to the, you know, blast approach
right.
of the past, which has been to kill everything in right. both human and
right.
veterinary medicine.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
And I like to make the point that while there are some breed risks that are involved, the mixed breed dogs, you know, they came from breeds as well, and mixed breeds get the same.
Right.
You know, cancer is their number one problem as well when they get to age 10 and greater. So this really is about all dogs. As you know, AKC Canine Health Foundation, we're really about all dogs and their people.
Right, right. Well, and I love that. And Canine Health Foundation, you guys are trying to reach out to the purebred dog community as much as possible. You said that you're going to make a trip out to the West Coast. Is that correct?
Yes, we've been invited to be at the Beverly Hills Dog Show, which we're thrilled to be there. We're going to have a booth, and I would love to see people who are going to be there from the West Coast clubs and breeders and such come and visit us there at the booth. We'll have lots of materials. We'd love to hear from you. I always like to hear people's specific questions and the things that they've encountered, because all of it helps to drive what we are doing.
Right. And you mentioned at the top of the show, this is a match opportunity. There are funds to be raised. So people will be able to talk to you about how they personally, how their breed club, how their all breed club, whatever, can find a few extra bucks that could be directed in this way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this is really the opportunity to do that through the generosity of the AKC, that people can get on board. And there are a number of ways to do match funding with us right now related to canine cancer and also with some other areas. And if folks want to go and look at this themselves, it's pretty straightforward. You can go to our website, which is at akcchf.org/match.
And we will have a link to it on our website. Absolutely.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right. Well, Diane, thank you very, very much. Hopefully I will get a chance to see you at Beverly Hills. For sure, I will see you at Westminster Kennel Club.
Yes. And I want to say to you and all your listeners how much we appreciate that you're helping us get the word out. This is incredibly important work, and we all need to come together and focus on the health of our dogs.
It is. I agree 110%, and I thank you for the opportunity to get to share this. I think people just don't know necessarily that this is out there, and this is so important. As you said, this is literally life and death, which we don't always deal with here on this show.
Well, thanks, Laura.
All right. Thanks a lot, Diane. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, crew. One of the things we love here at Pure Dog Talk is your voice. You can leave us a review on iTunes or the Pure Dog Talk Facebook page. And I'll share your reviews on air in the Listener's Voice segment. It's a fun, easy way to share the love and show your support for the voice of purebred dogs. Today's Listener's Voice is from Mock Borzoi on iTunes. Mock Borzoi says, Pure Dog Talk is great. I love the variety of topics and inclusion of top names, all aspects of dog sports and breeding. Can't recommend this podcast enough to the purebred dog community. And I can't thank you enough, Mock Borzoi. Appreciate you joining us. Thank you. And we are very glad to have great listeners. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com.
Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.